Hey, morning, Coastline family, and anyone that's tuning in and visiting our church. That sounds funny to say. This is crazy times we're in. Never in the 41 years of my life did I think that we'd be in a situation like this where we're actually having to broadcast church from home. But having said that, Lord knows what He's doing. And I even see myself, some things He's personally teaching me in this time where I'm confined to my home and I don't have this laundry list of things that I have to go be doing necessarily. I mean, there's still stuff to do, but it's actually been a refreshing time. I feel one of the things the Lord is teaching me is just how to slow down and not be so crazy all the time and stressed out and enjoying my family and enjoying just kind of the slower pace, and I don't know. I think there's quite a few things maybe the Lord's teaching all of us, but I would encourage you guys in any adversity that the Lord allows in your life, He's always trying to teach us something, and we want to be asking Him, Lord, what are You trying to teach me? Because we want to learn, you know, we want to learn from it. And when we come out of that adversity, which is a promise, we're always going through the valley, if you will, or going through the storm. He's going to get us to the other side. We want to come out and we want to walk in those things that He's taught us, you know, like not go back to the old ways or whatnot. So He's teaching me some stuff. And I am thankful for technology because we're able to do this. You know, we're still able to gather in a sense and go through God's word together and pray together and worship together. I got together with the elders on a app that allows you to kind of, you know, have a video feed from several people at a time this morning to have a impromptu prayer meeting before this morning. And man, it was just as much of a blessing as being together and praying, just literally virtually praying together. So I am thankful for technology and I'm glad that we get to open up God's word together this morning. If you have your Bibles or if you have your phone Bible, whatever you want to do, I'm going to encourage you to open to 2 Chronicles 20. You know, for the normal CCF churchgoers, we are going through the book of John on Sundays and we will eventually get back to that. But if there was ever a time to kind of per se do a topical study or kind of teach from some different sections of scripture that has to do with kind of the times we're in today, now's the time for that. We're definitely in a season of uncertainty and adversity, not just necessarily with the coronavirus. Obviously, that's the reason why we have these restrictions where we're trying to do what's called social distancing and not being allowed to gather in large groups and stuff to prevent the spread from it, which is good. But also just the effects of that, of these decisions that are being made in an attempt to, you know, prevent the spread, like how they're affecting people economically and stuff. I mean, people will be getting laid off and there's just a lot of uncertainty in adversity right now. And so when we're in situations like we're going through life and we face things like trials or whatnot, it's always best to go back to God's word because God's word has, you know, like examples of the same things because the Bible says we all go through the same things. Nobody's going through any trial that nobody else has ever gone through. And this is a trial that's affecting the whole entire world right now. So we want to look at the examples of what people have done in the past and how they've handled it and look for the principles God gives us in healthy ways. And you know, like, I mean, there's a whole lot of people out there telling you how to handle this situation and what you could do to protect yourself and, you know, like we in our flesh kind of naturally think of things we can do to preserve ourselves and take care of ourselves. And, you know, like that's an easy thing. That's just naturally what we do. But, you know, when it comes down to it, we always want to go back to what God says, because that's always the right thing to do. That's always the best thing we could ever do. And so we want to kind of ground ourselves in God's word. And so 2 Chronicles 20 is a situation where the nation of Israel and their king, King Jehoshaphat, are going through or facing like a major trial, like something that has a lot of potential adversity, a lot of potential unknowns, like of what's going to happen. And it gives us a great example of how to operate in a similar situation like that. So I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we are going to just kind of dive into the scripture, and I'm going to point some things out as we go through it that I think are very applicable to us, like during any season of life, because we know that there's a lot of trials, the coronavirus and, you know, the repercussions that are coming out of that aren't going to be the only time we face trials in this life. Jesus said we would. But it's going to give us this hopefully a firm foundation in how to go through this the way God would intend us to. So let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I do pray again for just your Holy Spirit to speak to us through your word. Lord, people tuning in today are not going to learn anything from me per se. I'm just a man. But I know that there is power in your word. It is alive. It has the power to produce faith in us or belief and understanding of you. It has the power to change us for the better. It has the power to give us guidance when we're needing direction. And we know that every time we open it, even if we've read through a section several times, you can always speak to us in a new way that's applicable to the situation we're going through. And there's all these people tuning in right now that are feeling different feelings. They have different circumstances. And we know that you're a God that cares about everyone. You love everyone and you desire that everyone should know you and have a relationship with you through faith in your son, Jesus. And you desire to be intimately involved in our lives, being there where we're close to you and we're looking to you for guidance. We're looking to you for deliverance. We're trusting in you to lead us. You want to give us peace. You don't want us to be fearful. And so, Lord, we come to you this morning looking for these things, much like we're going to see in this section today. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you, Lord. And we know that's the best place we can be. So, Father, speak to us now through your word, right where we're at. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys. So, chapter 20, verse 1, it starts with these two words, after this. And that ties basically what happened in the previous chapters to what's going on in this chapter. And you have to understand, if you don't know the section of scripture, what happened with King Jehoshaphat was that a couple chapters ago, he nearly died in battle. Because King Jehoshaphat, he was overall a good king. There's a lot of kings of Israel. He was the king of the southern kingdom of Judah. Israel was divided at the time. There was the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And he was, even though there were a lot of bad kings, he was one of the good ones overall that was leading people towards God, implementing these reforms to make sure they were following God according to his word. But also, like any of us, he made mistakes. And so a couple chapters ago, he made the mistake of forming an alliance with a bad king of the northern kingdom of Israel, King Ahab. And King Ahab was going to battle. He wanted some help. He asked for his help. And so he, without consulting with the Lord, or actually a prophet told him not to go to battle, so he didn't listen to the Lord. He actually formed that alliance. He went to battle, and King Ahab actually tried to set him up, like having him put on his royal garbs, if you will, so that people would think he was King Ahab and they might try to kill him instead. And he almost gets killed, but God protects him. He preserves him. Like so often in our lives, like when we make mistakes, because we all make mistakes, God is bigger than those mistakes. And he knew overall his heart was to follow him. He was just making mistakes. So he protects him and he preserves him. And in the last chapter, in chapter 29, what happens is like he gets rebuked. Like God says, you should have never done this. But nevertheless, you know, I know your heart's right. And you see him get right with the Lord. Like he keeps on implementing these reforms to make sure he's right with God and the people that he's overseeing are right with God. And so he's at this really good place with the Lord. And that's where we start in chapter 20, where it says, after this, and it goes on to say, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and with them some of the Munites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. So at this time, when things are going good in his walk with the Lord, when he's close to him, he's following his word, you know, that's when he gets this news that the enemy is coming to attack him. And I don't know if you probably experienced this in your life. Doesn't it always seem that, you know, when you're having what I call those mountaintop experiences with God, you see him working in your life, you're walking according to his word, you feel close to him. And then all of a sudden, something happens where it feels like everything's coming against you. Like sometimes maybe if you've gone away to like a retreat, like a men's retreat, or you've just broken away, you've gone to a mission trip, and you're just gone away to be with God, and you see him do these great things, and you come back, and like everything feels like it's going wrong. And there's no coincidence in that, because we're in a spiritual battle, as Ephesians tells us, and the enemy does not want you in that place of being focused on God and being close to God, because he knows that's the best place you could be. That's where you're the biggest threat to him, because you're hearing from God, you're following God, and God's got these great plans for you. And so he's going to do anything he can to distract you from God, to get you off, get your focus away from God. And a lot of that is through trials, because he knows that our tendency in the face of adversity and uncertainty is to freak out. And so that's what you see happen here. He puts this adversity in front of Jehoshaphat and his people to try to get him distracted, to try to get him to depart from God, to try to get him to question God's goodness, you know, because these potential bad things could be happening in them. And that's the same thing we face in our life. And it's so important at those moments that we don't let the enemy succeed in distracting us from the Lord. The Lord's where we need to stay. Our focus needs to stay on him and not go on our circumstances. So we go on to see in verse 2. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude, means huge army, all right, is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea. And behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is in Gedi. So surely he's still got this memory in his mind, all right, as far as like this battle he was just in not that long ago that didn't end up really well. I mean, he almost lost his life, you know, so that's fresh on his mind. And then he gets this word that there's this huge army coming. They're coming to conquer us. They're coming to kill us. They're coming to defeat us, all right? And it says in verse 3, it says, then Jehoshaphat was afraid. Now, when you look at that, he had good reason to be afraid, all right? That was a natural response. If we were in the same predicament, you know, we can probably relate with that. You know, like, yeah, I'd probably be afraid. And, you know, like when we get those, when we're facing those things of adversity, those trials or whatnot, that can be our first reaction too, is right? Man, if you guys didn't know, we just got back from a family trip to the UK. And while we were over there, you know, when we first left, things weren't that crazy. I mean, like this coronavirus stuff, it was happening, but it wasn't like exploding. It's crazy to me what happened in a matter of 2 weeks. And so things were pretty normal here. Things were pretty normal. I mean, you could still buy toilet paper, you know? I mean, it's like things were relatively all right. And then, you know, as we were on this trip, as we were going along, things started to blow up. It started to spread and there started to be these restrictions. And so we woke up one night, like, to these texts from like family and friends just saying, you guys got to get home. You know, they just did a shutdown of all travel to Europe. You know, and so like, you know, that's an idea, or that's an example for me, like just of one of those like adversity, like all these potential what ifs like are going through your mind. And I don't even know the facts yet, you know, but I'm just like, what the heck's going on? What's this like, you know, are we not going to be able to get home? Are we stuck here? Whatever. And, you know, as I looked more into it, it didn't really affect us at the time because it didn't involve the UK. And so, you know, looking into it or whatnot and just kind of prayerfully like seeking the Lord, you know, like I had more peace. But all that to say is like, you know, like when we get those moments of bad news, those things that we don't want to be happening to ourselves, like with the potential of bad things happening, like in the future, like that's what our reaction would be. It can be to freak out, it can be to be scared, just like him. But here's the thing: fear, anxiousness, is not a place for a believer to remain. Let me repeat that, okay? It's not necessarily, like, fear is something the Lord tells us not to do, all right? It says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, all right? So we know fear is not from the Lord, all right? He tells us not to do it. He also says in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love, that's the love God has for you, casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. So we know fear isn't from God. It's not something we should have. But in our flesh, we can have that initial fearfulness or anxiousness when we hear something that's potentially bad news. But we're not to remain there. It's not something we're to live in, like constantly have that fear. It's a Christian, because as it says there in 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. See, the whole reason you're fearful is because you think of these bad things that could happen to you as a result of this adversity, as a result of this uncertainty. You're fearful that something bad's going to happen to you, but as a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ, as a Christian, as God, you've been made God's child. And he's promised you punishment doesn't exist for you anymore, because all the punishment you deserve for your sins, Jesus took upon himself, the Son of God. So you didn't have to be punished. So even though hard things are going to happen to us in this life, God's promise is he's going to work those and everything else for your good. So punishment truly doesn't exist anymore for a Christian. You're going to be all right. You're still going to have to go through the hard thing, but because you're God's, because he's in control, because he's sovereign, because he's only got good plans for you, even though you don't understand it at first, he is going to work it for your good. And that's why you don't have to be fearful. See, fear is, and you've heard me say this before, if you're somebody who goes to our church, fear is faith in the devil, in his lies, trying to get you to question God's goodness. You have this thing in front of you, whether it's coronavirus or whatever, and you're thinking in your mind, oh, I'm going to get it and I'm going to die and this is going to be horrible, or I'm going to get really sick, or I'm going to lose my job and it's going to be horrible. When I'm not saying those things are necessarily good in themselves, but because you are a child of God, God has promised to work them for your good. And it takes faith to believe that, to believe that even if the worst case scenario happens, even if I die, well, God, Paul says to be absent of the body is to be present with the Lord. So that's the best thing. I get to go be with Jesus and I don't have to deal with the sickness or the pain anymore. That coronavirus and any other virus is gone. Oh, I lost my job. Yeah, that is hard. I want to provide for my family. But here's the thing. God is my provider. So he's going to provide, whether it's miraculously or he's going to give me a better job. You know, I got to trust him. I got to seek him in this and have peace. And that's what we're to do at that moment of adversity, at that moment of uncertainty, where our initial response is fearfulness. That's when you have a choice. At that moment, you have a choice. Am I going to stay afraid? Am I going to stay fearful? Am I going to let that fear control my actions and my thinking? Or am I going to do what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5? He says there, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Let me summarize that, like what he's saying. Basically what he's saying is, like, at that moment of fear, of incorrect thoughts in my mind, like the thoughts of something bad is going to happen to me, he's saying, you take that thought and you hold it up against God's word. And you go, like, no, that is not what God has promised me. I am his child. And that is a lie from the enemy, or that is a lie from my flesh. That is not the truth. God has said he's going to deliver me. He's only got good plans for me. He's going to work all things good for me. Like where it says, if anything that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, if it's contradictory to God's law, God's word, you take it captive. And you hit it head on and say, like, no, I'm not going to believe that lie. And then instead of continuing on in that fear, you go to God with that adversity. You go to him and you ask him for wisdom. You ask him for deliverance. And that's exactly what we're going to see Jehoshaphat do. And it's going to lead me to the first thing I want you to note, if you're a note taker. If you're not, please write this down. In the face of adversity or uncertainty, instead of being fearful, seek the Lord. When you're facing something tough you don't understand or that's hard, instead of being fearful, seek the Lord. And it goes on to say in verse 3, and set his face to seek the Lord. Or then Jehoshaphat was afraid, And he set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Now, he's initially fearful. But again, he doesn't stay in that place of fear, right? Right away, what's his first reaction? Not to freak out or try to take matters into his own hands to fix his situation, but rather he goes right to prayer and fasting. And not only with him, he gathers all the people together, knowing that that's going to be their first tendency too. They're all going to freak out because we all struggle with the same thing. So he's like, no, we need to seek the Lord first and foremost. So he gathers them all together. And that's exactly what Paul tells us to do in Philippians 4, 6-7. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen, man. Instead, he says, instead of being anxious or being worried in every situation, instead of doing that, he's saying, pray instead. Bring your request to God. Bring your petition to God. Go to God with thanksgiving. Being thankful that I know, God, I'm yours. I know you love me. I know you only got good plans for me. So however this works out, those things are true and I can trust those things. So I need to go to you instead of freaking out. And this isn't like a one-time thing. This is like a continual thing, because if you're anything like me, it's not like just all of a sudden I can take captive of the thought and I never have any fearful thoughts again. I got to keep doing this. Every time those lies come into my head, I got to take it captive by like basically confronting it with God's word and then going to Jesus and seeking him. And it says here, when you do that, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, peace of God, it's a peace that only can come from him. We go to a lot of things in this world for peace. We try to make things happen in our own power to bring us peace, but all those things will eventually fail you. Only God can guarantee peace, because he's the God that's in control and sovereign over everything and only has good things for you in store. So when you go to him, you get peace in return that transcends all understanding, which basically means it's not based on your circumstances, because your circumstances could very well still be uncertain and adverse, like bad as far as you're concerned, but it's a peace from him. So you can still have peace. These bad things could be going on, but you have peace because you know God's in charge of them. And it says it'll guard your hearts and mind. That's where that fear starts, because you're in a battle and it guards you from believing those lies of the enemy or of your flesh. And honestly, guys, just like Jehoshaphat, he gathered all the people here. This is one of the reasons why my initial response to this was starting that 24-hour prayer chain that I've been advertising on our social media. And if you haven't signed up for that, maybe one of the elders can throw up the link to that in the comment section. And I encourage you, it's just signing up for a 15-minute block. If you want to sign up for more, that's totally fine. But it's to keep us grounded where we need to be in these times of uncertainty. Because if you're not somebody that's praying regularly, and trust me, none of us are praying as much as we should. We always have room to grow in that. But we need to be more than ever, because it keeps us grounded. It keeps us focused on the truth of God. It keeps our trust in him where it needs to be. So I encourage you to sign up for that. But just like Jehoshaphat, I want to hold myself accountable in that place of prayer. And then I want all of the people the Lord's given me to shepherd to do the same thing, because I know that's where we're going to be best off. Now, before we go any further, my wife is somebody that has struggled with anxiousness and anxiety for a large portion of her life. And as her husband, it was a hard thing to watch, because I realized, like, from the outside looking in, like, it was definitely a spiritual thing, because you'd see this ramp up anytime the Lord was, you know, using her to do something, like, just like Jehoshaphat, like, she was in a good place with the Lord, like, this attack would come, and it would be debilitating to her. Like, she'd be in bed, sick, not wanting to get out and do anything. And, like, as a husband, it's like that, you just don't want your wife, you know, obviously be going through such things. And I remember we were away on a husband and wife, you know, getaway, and, you know, she was struggling with some anxiousness, and, you know, I just saw the enemy, like, trying to, prevent her from having the enjoyment of, like, just being away as a husband and wife, and trying to steal that from her. And she made this statement, like, man, I guess this is just my cross to carry, that, you know, like, you know, I have to deal with this anxiety and fear. And like, I had to kind of correct her, like in a loving way, but like set her straight. And like what I just mentioned there from 2 Timothy 1:7 or 1 John 4:18, like fear is not God's will for you. Don't believe that lie. He does not want you to be fearful. He's not giving you that spirit of fear or timidity. Man, this is like the enemy, or this is your flesh. This is not God's will for you. And it was like a red letter moment for her. Like the light bulb went off. And from that point on, I saw the Lord start to deliver her. But she implemented a lot of these things we're talking about here. So I'm going to have my wife come and share with you guys just some things she's learned over the time. So basically, here she is. She's going to come here. And I know this is her favorite thing. Like, she loves talking in front of people. Actually, not at all. And probably if this was in church, this would never have happened. So, like, I'm glad for this, too. But I'm going to turn it over to her just to kind of share some things the Lord put on her heart regarding this.
Good morning, guys. Yes, like Chris was saying, I have struggled with anxious thoughts for the last 8 years. And since then, the Lord has just really been doing a work in me. In the past, I'd always been a happy-go-lucky kind of a person, but then out of nowhere, these anxious thoughts started to happen, and so I ran to the Word. I knew all the verses about anxiety, like the one in 1 Peter 5:7 that says, "Cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you," and I would do that. I would cast my cares on Him, or so I thought. But what I realize now is that my casting was actually commands. I was, in a sense, telling the Lord to take my fear away, to make me better, to fix my mind. And one day, as I was on the floor crying out to God, I looked up at verse 6, the verse right before, "Cast your anxieties on Him." And verse 6 says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He might exalt you." And you know what jumped off the pages right there was the word humble. And humble means to make low, to bring low. And this one got me, to assign a lower rank. And I wasn't taking that lower rank because I wanted to be the commander in chief. Unknowingly, I was ordering the Lord what to do. And so about 6 months ago, it was the night before I had a doctor's appointment, and I'm sure a lot of you know I had some health issues right before Ezekiel was born, and I was going to the doctor's, and so I had this anxiety ramping up inside me, and I was nursing in the middle of the night, and I thought, I need to find a devotion on anxiety. And so on my little Bible app, I went to the devotions and searched anxiety, and I found this one by, I think her name's Maria Furlow, and what I started reading was exactly what I was feeling. And it says, I'll read you just a few parts from it. It says, "What is your greatest fear? If you are anything like me, you don't even want to take the chance of naming your fear out loud. Guilty. A tiny voice inside tells you if you say it out loud, you just might jinx yourself. God-fearing, God-trusting, and God-believing, though you will not take any chances when it comes to your greatest fear. Your fear just is. It's part of you, and you have come to accept it." And that's the place that I was at. And she goes on to say that, "And so I searched the scriptures for a verse saying that nothing bad would ever happen to me or my loved ones, but it's not there. God's word is good. It is holy, reliable, powerful, mysterious, and righteous. And there are no promises that tell me my worst fears will not come true. God does not promise us a pain-free existence." Mm-hmm. And she goes on to share that one of her greatest fears came true, and that gently, day by day, God revealed a battle plan for her. And so as I continued on through the devotional, I was looking at what this battle plan was. And the first step she talks about was identifying that fear, the instant that it pops into your mind. And for me, I've had to do that. As a lot of you know, and as Chris was sharing, we were in the UK, and the night before we were supposed to fly out, we find out that our flight is canceled, and long story short, we end up finding out that when they're rescheduling us, not only are we in London, one of the hot spots for the coronavirus, but they're going to send us to New York, which we all know is a hotspot for the coronavirus, and then we're going to go to Seattle. So three hotspots the Lord has us going through, and the airlines is putting us through this. And I had to identify that fear in that moment. And it's scary when you're taking, for us, nose-picking, nail-biting children and a baby through these hotspots. How can I prevent the coronavirus from getting in our family? So first off, I definitely needed to do that. I needed to identify that fear. And then the second thing she was saying is to state that fear out loud, and not to the empty air, but to the Lord. I have to give it to the Lord. And that is really when I felt a relief and a lifting. 6 months ago with my doctor's appointment, once again with the coronavirus, I felt that. And so for me, what has changed is definitely I need to first humble myself. I need to remember who is in control. Ultimately, we all know who's in control. God is on his throne. Second, I've had to identify that fear that very moment it comes in. And thirdly, I have to state that fear out loud, because the Lord, he's my help and he is my deliverer. And I just want to just close with Psalms 40, just verses 1-4 here. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and he heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of my miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust.
Thanks, babe, for sharing that. And guys, I think that's just a good thing to end on. You know, I'm going to go through more of this section, but the first point I wanted to make, and it's really the thing that I felt like was a word of the Lord for us today, is just like there's all these different things we're being told we could do. And some of those things are good. Like, I mean, they're wisdom or whatnot. I'm not saying it's bad, but we shouldn't do these things or whatever. And there's all these people telling us what we should and what we shouldn't do. But above all of those things, we can't forget to go to the Lord. First and foremost, all right? To the Lord. This verse came to my mind, 1 Peter 5, 6-7. It says, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Like my wife said this, it starts with humility. You're not telling God what to do. You're not thinking that somehow you know better than God how to handle the situation. In your humility, you're going to be like these guys who we're not going to look at it tonight. We'll look at it Thursday as we continue on in this section. But they basically cry out to God and they admit to him. I'm finding the section where they say it. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. In verse 12, like you have this mentality of like, God, I don't even know what to do in this situation. It's beyond my control. I have no power. I don't know the best way to proceed. But you know what? My eyes are on you, and I know you do. I know you, anything's possible with you. This is a little thing for you. I know you love me. I know you're going to take care of me. And I trust you. I'm going to you. I'm giving everything to you, God. And so more importantly than anything else, that's what I hope you guys get from this, that you leave here, and right now we're going to have a time to respond. We're going to have another worship song when I'm done, and you go to God with any fear, any worry you're having, you take that thought captive. You in a sense, like my wife just said, you out loud admit it. I am fearful of this, and I know it's wrong. This is not what God's word says is for me. And God, I give it to you. I ask you to deal with it. I ask you to take care of this. Take care of me. Protect me. And I'm guaranteeing, man, when you do that, you will experience that peace that surpasses all understanding. And if it doesn't take the first time, you keep doing it. You keep doing it because God wants you to have peace in your life. And if you're somebody that hasn't placed your faith in Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you right now, you can spend your whole entire life trying to find peace in a million different things and other people in this life. I spent the first 20 of my years of my life trying to find peace, and you never will. You were meant to know the living God of the universe who made you and loved you so much that he allowed his one and only son to die on a cross for you, to pay the price for your sins so you could be forgiven of him and reconciled to him, because he knew you never could in your own power. And he knew that he wanted that relationship with you, or you needed to have that relationship with him to experience what the Bible calls this abundant life, a blessed life, a life of true happiness and contentment and peace, because he knew this life would be filled with all these scary things like coronavirus and stuff. And that just, you know, the Bible compares our relationship with God to a father-child relationship. Just like our kids get freaked out by things that we don't get freaked out because we know there's nothing to be scared of, he knew we would react the same way. And he's like, you need me as your father. You need that type of intimacy. You need that closeness. And you today can have a conversation with God. You can call out to him. He's here. He hears. And you can admit, Lord, I'm not perfect. I that word sin, it resonates with me. I know sin is basically anything we do that's not in accordance with what God's word says is good. Because he's the one that thought everything up. He's the one that made this whole entire world. He made all of us. So he gets to say what's good and what's bad because he really knows. And so when anything we do that against what his word says, that's sin. And we're all guilty of it. We're all sinners. And when we go to God and we say, I'm a sinner, and I believe that your son, who was God in the flesh, came and lived the perfect life to be that perfect sacrifice so my sin could be paid for, and I need him to be my Savior, God says at that moment, his Holy Spirit comes inside of us and it regenerates us. We're made new. The old person of us that was in bondage, was a slave to sin, like you couldn't help but do what's wrong, that part of you dies, and you're now under God's control, where basically his Holy Spirit not only helps you understand his word, it brings the remembrance, or it teaches you like how to apply it in your lives. It gives you the power to say no to your flesh, to say no to those thoughts that are wrong, like to take them captive and basically walk in his ways, or walk according to his word and experience the blessedness that comes with that. And one of those things is peace. God wants to give you peace. Every single one of us. And if we're not at peace, it's probably an indication that we're looking to something else for peace. And we need to go back to God. Just like we see Jehoshaphat here. When he was afraid, what did he do? He went to God. He sought God. And that's what we need to do right now. And so I'm going to encourage you guys, spend this moment doing that now. All right? I'm going to go ahead and pray. Again, we're going to continue the study Thursday night. And I know every single one of you will be there because with the current restrictions, you ain't got nowhere else to be, right? So I'm expecting to see you guys all Thursday night, and we'll continue the study and we'll kind of look what this prayer contained that Jehoshaphat did. So it kind of helps us in the right way to approach God. But man, more than anything, we just need to come to God right now in humility and do what my wife says. Just like be honest with him what we're scared of. We're not telling him what to do. We're just saying, Lord, help us with this. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. God bless you guys. I'm going to pray. I'm going to turn this off, and we're going to go back on to one last worship song. So get back on that live feed and worship God with us and call out to him if you need to right now. And if you're somebody that placed your faith in Jesus Christ watching this today, I'd encourage you, would you send a message to Coastline, like on Facebook, because maybe some contact information, like an email or phone number, because I would love to personally follow up with you and just make sure that if you have any questions, I can answer them. Or get you a Bible, whatever, just follow up some way, all right? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, thank you so much again that you are our hope in this world that really is hopeless. I mean, at first glance, Lord, we can try to put our hope in a whole lot of different things, but those things always have a way of coming up short and failing us at some point. But you, God, never have and you never will. You are nothing but faithful. The Bible even says that when we're faithless, you're still faithful because you can't deny who you are. And we know, Lord, this coronavirus and all the repercussions. I mean, there's people out there with real trials right now. They've been laid off. They're trying to figure out how to provide for their family, Lord. All of these things, even though I'm not making light of them, they're big deals, but to our bigger God, they are easy things for you to handle. And that's what we want to remember right now. We want to come to you with our problems. We want to cast our cares to you, just like I read, in humility, understanding that we don't know what to do. We can't handle it. But you do. And you promised to take care of this kind of stuff for your children, Lord. So we come to you as your children and we ask you to take care of us. And we ask that you would help us walk and live in that peace that surpasses all understanding. Certainly everything going around us, we don't understand. But we want the peace you offer us in trusting and hoping in the God that is in control of all things. So may you grant that request for your people even now. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.